Welcome to the Hardwater Fishing Show with your hosts, Jeff Byboth and Jason Killaby. We talk tactics, gear, and ice fishing legends. Welcome back to the Hardwater Fishing Show, episode 11. It is the third week of March, 2018. Today, we're going to be talking about end of season and best moments of this show for the year. This was our first season, and we're trying to review some of our favorite things. And we are at about 2,200 downloads right now.
That's awesome. Totally awesome.
It is awesome. We've been slacking a bit in our releasing of them, which might be making some of our downloads not going up. But, you know, life gets in the way.
Well, I do want to point out that I have been calling Jeff at least every other day saying, when, Jeff, when are we going to get this 11th episode done for our listeners? So,
yes. It's something like that, or maybe the opposite. But anyways,
I just want to point that out, that it's not my delay, and I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, and I'm not going to name names as to who it was. But there you have it.
Just remind everybody to like or comment on the podcast. It does help us. It helps us gauge who's listening and what's going on. So just remember to like or comment. And we're just pretty much available anywhere. If you get a podcast there, you should be able to find the Hardwater Show on that medium. Also giving a shout out to the webpage, hardwatershow.com. We have pictures, information, all that kind of stuff about every show page. So I
would say I highly appreciate all of our listeners. And you guys already know, and gals already know how wonderful this show is. So tell a friend. And tell them that it'll be the best hour of their week to listen to this show. And if it's not, hey, you played a good joke on them. If it is, great, you're a hero. You cannot lose in this situation. You cannot lose.
Yes. It is a win-win no matter what.
It is. So, Jeff, what are you having for a cold beverage tonight?
Well, I've got my standby, this Surly Hell. It's pretty good. We're going to crack it open and get started.
Nice. It's a good sound.
Very nice.
I'm drinking a steak again, and I got the old style. I'm rolling the old style again. I've kind of gotten to a good kick on this, so we'll get that going here. All right.
Ooh,
nice echo deep baritone on sound there for that particular beverage.
We're going to have to get an orchestra conductor here to get our beers opened, you know, pretty soon.
You know, that would be, to make them sound better. That could be a best-selling Christmas album if you could do, like, Christmas music to the timbre of different beers opening.
I can hear it can now.
You? See? I'm telling you. That you would, yeah. You'd sell at least a copy, I'd have to think.
Well, and you'd have the pounders and the 12-ouncers and the, you know, I mean, 40-ouncers. I mean,
you could throw in the tapping of a keg. You know, I mean, you could make this happen. But we're digressing. Okay, well,
we might have taken this.
We're going too far.
As far as we should have taken it.
All right, how about a fishing report? You got a fishing report?
I do have a fishing report. So it's been a couple weeks here, so I've been busy fishing. A few weeks ago, I was up on Lake of the Woods in Canada. All I'm going to say is, you know, not much compares to fishing on Lake of the Woods. It just doesn't. You know, we had a slow day on Lake of the Woods, and it'll best any other fishing day I have on any other lake this year, unless I go back to Lake of the Woods.
And I don't appreciate hearing that information because I live a long ways from there. And I've had open water for 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks, maybe. Wow. They're boating on the river by my house now. So ice fishing is way absolutely over in Iowa. In fact, I may have my kid mow the lawn next week just because the ice has been gone so long. It doesn't need it, but it's just out of principle.
So you don't have snow in your yard, is
no,
what you're
telling
me.
No, it's all gone. It's been gone. The last, you know, the last of the dirt-covered snow left last Saturday or Sunday. We did actually have this little weird snowstorm, but that's just a spring thing in Iowa. It could happen in June, but it's all over.
Yeah, I mean, I just can't talk enough about how awesome Lake of the Woods is.
Shut up.
I mean,
so what were they biting on? At least give us some information that we can use. Like, was it a minnow head? Was it a forage minnow? Was it a leader? Did you just stick your hand down there and they jumped up on you, pulled them out of the water? What were you doing?
So it was some of those things. I did just stick my hand down the hole and pull the fish out of the hole. That did happen. That actually did happen. But I did use a lure to get it to the hole.
Mm-hmm.
So primarily we were using those new glow jigs, the new Northland
really?
Glow jigs. That's all I fished with all weekend. I used the gold color was really hitting really good when we were up there. So
now, did you try it without the glow just to see if there was a difference or never did?
No, I never did. You know, when I caught my first 22 inch, I figured I might as well stick with the glows because they seem to be working. Mm-hmm. So then when I got the 24, I figured they seemed to be working and I kept with the glow.
Yeah, it's hard to just see, okay, if I take this off, will I not catch fish?
That's a hard
thing to do.
Yeah.
So yeah, all right. Well, good for you.
But it was an interesting bite, though, because, you know, we didn't fish all day. We probably only fished for 4 hours a day, if that. But the fish it was a cold front bite, so the fish weren't jumping. You could go out there and you go to our spot and you would set up and you'd catch, you know, a nice walleye, but nothing huge, 15s or, you know, somewhere in that range. As you creeped up to dusk, then they'd actually start biting. You know, you'd have a lot of lookers at 3 o'clock. They'd come up, they'd look at your bait, they'd swim away. They'd come up and they'd look at your bait and they'd swim away. But once it got around dusk, then they started biting. And then, as usual on Lake of the Woods, it got dark and it was over.
Yeah.
It wasn't even dark. I would say it was dusk. I mean, it wasn't dark. Again, in those 4 hours, I probably caught more walleyes than I will catch on any other lake this summer. So, it was
and
good.
I just think that's because you don't know what you're doing. But, I mean, it's possible that the fishing's that good up there. But I think it's about skill, you know. I mean, if you put a kid on a gravel road, he's going to find a rock. You know, and that's that's basically what happens up there.
I'm glad you have confidence in my skill level, Jason.
I do. I'm just a little salty.
All right. So, I mean, really successful Lake of the Woods trip. Oh, and I did, I think it was the 24. I was using the gold glow jig, and you know, I got it up and you know, around Lake of the Woods. Now, when we fish there, we fish together, but when it was just the three of us, we each fish our own shack, right?
Yep.
So you don't have an assist. There's no assist. And so so you got to, you know, do the dance where you catch a good one and you know you got it on, and then you got to kind of hold your rod up while you pull the Vexilar thing out of the hole, and that is always an opportunity to lose your fish. And the next opportunity, obviously, is when you get to the hole because you kind of have to hold your rod and reach down and grab the fish out of the hole. And, you know, a 22 or 24 inch walleye takes, you can't just crank them out. You got to lift them out, right? So I lost it in the hole and reached into the hole and pulled it out before it got away.
Now let's back up a minute. You had bought a gadget to do that very thing for yourself. Where was that?
Well, that was to pull the fish out of there, but that's it was in my fish bag.
Well, what good does that do you?
Not good, but I don't think that would help you. I got that more for northerns, right?
I don't.
Because you don't want to stick your hands around their teeth and mouth.
Okay.
And
I just thought that's what that thing was for.
It's supposed to be to drag them out, but, you know, there wasn't enough time. It's kind of a intricate dance, you know, when you are getting those big walleyes out there by yourself. And the other interesting story that came out of that was, so we caught a 27 on that trip, and it was kind of a co-catch. Like, it was a mutual catch, a two-person catch.
Okay, how does that work?
Yeah, so again, we're fishing in separate shacks, right? Ron's in one, you know, we're in different shacks. So he calls me over, needs some help, you know, and when he calls over, you know he needs some help. He knows what fish are and how big they are. So I open up his ice shack, and he's got his rod in his hand, and he's, you know, kneeling down, looking down the hole, and he hands me his rod. Says, here, you need to reel this in. You're a better position than I am. And so he sticks his hand down the hole and trying to coax this fish up. And during this process, I'm reeling the fish out of the hole. So he hooked it, right? It was in his shack. But then I'm now reeling, and we're trying to get the fish out of the hole. And this fish gets caught on the edge of the ice, you know, right on the edge of the ice. It's just caught. And
if people could see me, I'm shaking my head because I knew this where it was going. I just knew it. Don't ask me how I know, but I know. Go on.
So we're stuck on the ice. And then I don't know if it was just my day or, you know, somebody was just, you know, God was happy with me that day. I don't know what was going on, but the fish decided to run, to take a final run. And so it took this run, which dislodged the hook from the bottom of the ice, which allowed us to get the fish up the hole. So that was my co-catch, but that was a 27. That one was pretty
You're lucky
nice.
You didn't screw that up completely.
There was some pressure when somebody else hooks the fish and then hands you the rod. I mean, that's pressure.
It is. It's kind of like when you take the kids fishing and you hand them the rod so they can reel it in.
So you're saying I'm the child in this scenario.
You know, you draw your own conclusions. I'm just drawing an analogy. You put yourself into the analogy.
So far, I'm throwing rocks off a gravel road and grabbing the rod like a kid.
But it was a successful trip for you.
It was. Awesome. So are you going to say from like our previous kids and fishing episode that maybe that was about me? Is that what you're implying now?
I'm not the one drawing conclusions, but you got to think about whatever conclusions you're drawing and see if they apply.
Okay. All right. I think we better move on to my next fishing report.
Yeah, you better. Because mine sucks. I don't even have one, so.
I was going to say, I was going to ask if you had anything you wanted to fill in here. But,
no, I got nothing that's worth helping. I mean, yeah, I got nothing.
Unless you seal up the holes on the Nanook, put an outboard on it, is that kind of where you're at?
I think I would be over the weight rating for the flotation capacity of that ice shack.
You could use the top as a sail. You wouldn't even need a motor.
I know, I'd have to fill the whole thing with foam, and then I'd still... I'd have to throw some outriggers on that bad boy. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
I can't believe somebody hasn't tried that, come up with the hybrid boat / fishing sled machine. Anyways, that's just another subject. All right. So my other fishing report, today I was out in Lake Minnetonka.
Nice.
Yeah. So my brother-in-law and I went out, and, you know, it's only like half hour from my house, so it's a nice little shot. And, you know, walleyes are closed now, but you can still go out and catch crappies and sunnies and perch, which is what we did. So we caught a whole bunch of them. I don't know. I'll go and say we caught 40 of them. We didn't keep anything. It was all catch and release. So we caught some crappies and some sunnies, some nice ones, some little ones.
And what were you catching them on?
Lures.
If you could see me, I'm shaking my head once again.
Okay, I have a little more information than that. What they like out there is waxworms and very small tungsten jigs. So we're talking the, I would say, 1/8 ounce to 1/16 ounce tungsten jigs, which are pretty small when they're tungsten.
Sure.
That's what we were fishing. And we were fishing, it was like the, I tried the purple or the pink and blue kind of colors. And they didn't seem to respond to that as much, but I put on kind of the more green and yellow, the more perchy colors, and they seemed to hit those a little better. Yeah, so we moved around a lot. It was really warm. It was like 50 degrees outside today, so we didn't even have to drill a lot of holes. You just kind of kick one open. You know, you just kind of go kick one open and, you know, drill one if you need one. But we trolled around, and we had intended on fishing a different spot. However, there was some ice issues that didn't allow us to drive on the ice. So we decided to walk instead, and which limited our options a little bit more.
Yeah, no, that's understanding.
Yeah, overall, it was a good day. We were out there for like 3 hours. We probably caught 40 fish. You know, it was nice outside. It was pretty good.
That's awesome. Well, it sounds like a great outing. And the ice is now, I don't know. Some people are still driving some places, but I don't know. You know, this is, once again, we're into that time of year where everybody goes, can I drive on the lake? Can I drive on the lake? How about this lake? Are people driving out there? So just be safe out there. I don't want to hear people going through.
Right. And that was one of our big dilemmas, right? Because, I mean, there's still a lot of ice out there. So when we went out there, we drove up to the boat launch, right? And we drive up, and I'll post a picture of it because I took a picture of it. We'll just say there was a little bit of open water at the boat launch. You know, not a lot, but, you know, maybe there was a foot of water, half a foot of water. It was enough where we're like, well, I don't think you want to drive your vehicle through that, right? So we unpack the gear and we were just walk out. And as we're backing out, a half ton Chevy drives up to the boat launch, not from the gravel part, but from the lake, and pulls up and then pulls off the lake. And I'm like, oh, one of his back tires kind of went in a bit. We'll say, I mean, it was by no means through the ice, but it went in. And so I talked to him and he's like, oh, there's plenty of ice out there. You just got to get to it. So the edges of the launches and stuff are just getting beat up.
Yeah, I imagine that's, I mean, that's all going to get pretty soft. So,
yeah, but I mean, there was solid 2 feet ice out there. I mean,
cool. Very cool.
But I only saw one pickup truck. Everybody else had four wheelers or was walking. So,
yeah, that's probably a better way to go about it right now. But you guys just do, you know, do what you're going to do.
Yeah, I didn't drive. My brother-in-law did, and he was kind of hemming and hawing, and I'm like, it's your car, do what you want. But I can tell you that if I had my car here, I wouldn't be driving out there. So, all right, current events. Jason, so you had a really big event, and it's hard water related, but not fishing related. So just tell me about that.
Yeah, so it's absolutely hard water related. There is what I do have started doing anyway in my off ice fishing seasons is doing competitive barbecue contests. And so I might not be pronouncing this resort right, but Izetti's.
It's Izetti's.
Izetti's. I was close. Izetti's.
Yeah.
Over on Lake Mille Lacs hosts a Fire on Ice is the name of the barbecue contest. And so you actually, some folks were on ground, on land, but there was a portion of us on the ice. The real men were on the ice and women were on the ice, and the rest of the folks were up on the resort area. But we actually rented an ice shack and then did all of our barbecue stuff out on the ice. And they host a heck of a tournament over there. It was well put on. It was a lot of fun. My little brother brought his snowmobiles up, so we'd cook and then we'd rip around the lake a little bit and then go back and do more of our cooking stuff. And we did decent. We about middle of the pack, so about 60 teams. We came in about 31st, 15th in chicken, and the rest we won't talk about. But you know, it was a really competitive contest. We had a lot of fun, and you could do a whole nother podcast on barbecue contests, but it was a lot of fun, and it was just the weekend after walleye closed. So We did not fish. We thought about drilling some holes, but there was some yahoos that did that, and they flooded the whole road. So, yeah, not by where we were, but just down from where we were. They parked and drilled some holes, dropped their shacks on the road and drilled holes and flooded half the road or twice, almost the whole road. So, yeah, that's not cool.
So you could say that they kind of saved you because that might have been you if you hadn't seen them do it.
It really might have been. No, really what we decided is with all the gear for the barbecue contest to try to throw all the ice fishing stuff on top of that pile was just too much. So we didn't do it.
Well, and I like this big link. You wouldn't guess that barbecue and ice fishing have any link at all. But then you did this fire on ice thing, right?
Yeah.
And then there's also at the Hardwater this year, Hardwater Invitational event, that you brought ribs and we ate them and they were awesome. I mean,
well, see, that's the problem. I do all this ribs and I test nonstop. I'm always cooking. Every time I'm home for a weekend, I cook a rack or two or three or four ribs. And so my family now looks at me sideways when I'm cooking ribs. And so now I'm just freezing them all. And then I'm going to feed them to you guys every year. You're going to get them every year till I switch next. I think maybe next year we're switching meats around on the team. So I think I'm going pork butt maybe next year. So next couple of years, you're going to start getting pulled pork.
Nice.
So yeah, you are a beneficiary of the process.
Yeah, I know. It was great. I think I ate a lot of ribs that one day. They were really good.
So, all right. So it looks like you have a note here. Season is closed. Quit taking pictures of walleyes.
Yeah, there were these guys on Facebook on some of the pages, right? That so clearly walleye season was closed. And they would post pictures like, still biting on Red Lake, and hold up big walleyes. Probably past the time to do that.
And I don't know what the legality of that is. Ooh, I caught this monster by accident. You know, and you do catch them by accident. You absolutely do. Absolutely right. Legitimate. I just would wonder that stopping to pose for a picture may call into question what you're doing. And so I don't know that I would do that. I might take a picture, but I don't know that I would put it on Facebook. There's maybe my two cents on that, but you know, you just want to make sure you get them back in the water alive. There's a reason they shut that season down, and you want to make sure to preserve the vitality of the fish for the spawning season. They're getting ready to do the deed, and we want them to do that. So you don't want to upset their mojo.
Exactly.
Moving on.
So that's just, I just thought it was interesting. So the thing, yeah. I saw this picture of this guy, you know, ice, especially like if you're up in Lake of the Woods or up in the... You're talking extensions, or maybe extensions of extensions. And I saw this picture of this guy, and who knows? You know, you see stuff on social media, right? And who knows how real it is? Who knows how, whatever. But he was standing on this tailgate with his ice auger, with his lots of extensions so that he could drill his hole. It was kind of funny. I don't know. I'll see if I can find it. But you know, because when you get so many extensions, you can only reach so high. So he had to stand on this tailgate to drill his hole. I thought it was interesting. But maybe it was staged. I mean, I've been fishing a long time and never even used an extension. So to say you have to have so many that you have to stand on your tailgate seems far-fetched. But maybe somebody will text me or send me a picture and say, totally, I live here and I do it all the time. I really don't know. I saw this interesting thing about regs, Jason.
Okay,
regulations. So there was a picture, and you can tell I get some of my information from social media, but a picture about people who had cleaned fish and then like just thrown the fish on the lake ice or in the hole.
Yeah, I don't think you can do that, can you?
No, you're not supposed to do that.
Can't do it.
We've talked about littering and stuff before, but it was just kind of a different form of that. But I just thought I'd bring it up that it was kind of a good point that you know, it might seem like you're just giving them back to the earth, but it's not.
I can certainly understand the impulse. It's nice to have the mess not at the house or in the garage or whatever, or in the car, or your buddy's car, or whatever. But It is, you know, if you had large groups of people all cleaning their fish on the ice, it just would be a disaster out there. So, especially in the summer too, if you've ever been around public fishing areas that are hit pretty hard and people are dumping fish guts in the bushes next to the launch, the smell is horrendous.
Oof.
And it draws all sorts of critters and stuff. So your best bet's to bury the fish guts somewhere, put them in the garbage, and don't do the garbage disposal. I just don't do that. I'm not going to say any more about that, but don't use the garbage disposal.
That's a legend for another day.
Maybe at your buddy's house, but not at your own house. And, you know, just dispose of things properly and be aware of the regulations. I mean, so here's how you get regulations, right? It's real easy. Somebody does something stupid, and the next thing you know, you got a new law.
Yep.
That's how it happens. So if you don't want laws, don't do stupid stuff. That doesn't make sense. And then you don't have a new law to take care of what you did that's ridiculous. And then everybody else has got to live with some sort of unintended consequences. Okay, rant over. Moving on.
Moving on. So the other current event I would talk about, and it's kind of related to regulations, but because I went fishing today, I bought my new fishing license. So got to do it. So
yeah, don't forget to do that. You can do it online now. So
yeah, you can. Yeah,
been that way quite a while.
All right, moving on to gear, Jason. We talked about the glow jigs, right? You use some of those, right? Too.
I have them. Yep. You never caught a fish on them.
My comment is they really do work. I would highly recommend them.
I'm kind of disappointed that they work.
Because now you have to buy disposable things.
Yeah, because what's going to happen is, you know, if I was the manufacturer, right, I'd make those for a couple of years, and then I would change the design. So now you have to buy all new, you can't get the glow sticks anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to happen. That's what they do. So, yeah, that's going to be awesome.
So my second update was about my Big Buddy heater. I took it on its maiden voyage to Lake of the Woods. And Jason, you know what it is to bring gear to Lake of the Woods.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
Except
two men enter, one man leaves.
Except in the snow, and it's not apocalyptic, it's Canada, where everybody's really friendly. But other than that, I guess. No, I don't. I just not seeing it. But go on.
I just had this vision of, like, you know how you bring gear up there and it just kind of gets consumed, right? Like it enters the Thunderdome, but it doesn't come back. It's just the way it goes. So I needed to bring a heater up when I went to Canada, and I have my Big Buddy. It's all I have. So I'm like, well, I guess we're rolling with this. And I just went with 1-pounders because it's just easier. I don't fish enough to need the big adapters and stuff. So it worked. It made it in the back of my shack all the way out, you know, whatever, 8 miles or however far we drive our snowmobiles, and made it all the way back and came back one piece. And it worked when I got out there and worked when I got home. So
that is always a blessing when stuff works. I love it. That's awesome. Good news.
Right. Well, but, you know, I mean, there's a lot of plastic and stuff, and those things can be finicky. So I was kind of wondering. So, Jay, tell me a little bit more about that single burner that we used.
Yeah. So we've had just some backstory. I usually like to cook a hot meal for the guys when we're out on our fishing trip. I just think it's really self-serving. If I don't feed them a hot meal, then by 3 o'clock, they're all whining and when I want to go in. So because they're cold or their tummies are hungry or whatever. Anyway, so.
Did you use the word tummy?
Yeah, I did. And so some of these, we've had some really cold trips, and this year was an example of that. And I've tried like white gas Coleman stoves, and we've done some propane stuff, And sometimes you can have flow problems if it's, you know, because it's sitting in the back of the sled or whatever, and it gets really cold, and so it doesn't flow real well. So I have, I've moved to a Primus backpacking stove, and it's the ones that use the canister fuel pack. And the thing is, the stove itself is the size of, I don't know, like a, it's really small. It's smaller than your fist. So it'd be like a, it just has a top on it and a little valve on it. And it fits in your backpack or whatever you're using very, very easily. It's, and it's got a little knob on it. So it's an adjustable heat on it. You buy them at Walmart. They're $20. And they go to, you attach them to a canister of fuel. It's a pressurized fuel tank. And you can get what you call, you can buy them at REI or a store that carries more camping type gear. And they have a four season fuel mix that's good to like 40 below. So it always flows. And it's really lightweight, really compact. It's got adjustable flames so you can make soup or, what did we cook this year? I think I heated up pulled pork or something.
Yep, I think it was pulled pork.
Yep, I think I heated up some pulled pork for the guys out on the ice. I throw it in my, I've got a backpack I use for my fishing gear. I throw it in there, and you can make up some hot cocoa real quick out on the ice if you're fishing, or make coffee and a percolator thing or whatever you want. So works really nice. Highly recommend it.
Yeah, I was just impressed with it, how well it worked. Like, it was compact and lightweight. And it just worked. I mean, you know, we've been out there with those Coleman stoves and white gas, and you pump and you try to get it to go, and you know, they're heavy and they break when you drag them across the ice. So it was awesome.
Yeah, and then the fuel tank makes and has a nice size base to it, because the burner sits on top of the fuel tank, screws into that fuel tank, and it's pretty stable. It's a good little stove. Actually, I'll send you the information, Jeff, and you can put it on the website.
Thanks, Jay. I'll update that on the website.
Perfect, perfect. So you got a chance to use a new, changing the subject, you got a chance to use a new Fraybill, this Fraybill Predator sidestep?
Yeah, it was, you know, it was... when we were up in Canada, I didn't have to bring my own. There was one up there I could borrow for the weekend. And so I hadn't used one of those before. It was really nice, the sidestep thing. You know, it was crazy windy that day. Like, I'm pretty sure that if my shack was not attached to a snowmobile, it would have blown away. Like, I was wrestling with this thing to get it up. And, It was really windy. Like, it was like a parachute, and it held up. It worked great. Super durable, super thick, like, you know, fabric, and the seats are comfortable. And I don't know, I was impressed. I think the only drawback is, and I don't know if all the sidesteps are this way, but you have to put poles in them. And I don't know if it was just this one, but you can't just flip it over, because the way it works is there's like a pole that's shaped like a U that okay. isn't attached to anything else on the front, the very front, to make it like square up and down. So you have to like push that up and then put a pole between that one and the second hoop to make it work. So it's a little bit futzy to set up, like compared to like your Nanook or pretty much any other shack I've ever been in, which even the bigger ones, you still just extend the poles and flip it over. This sure. one you had to like... extend the poles, put the other pole up, kind of put the pole in the middle. It was a few more steps.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
But it was good. It was comfy, and I kept warm with my insulated shack with my Big Buddy heater.
Yeah, because that was one of those insulated deals, right? The quilted oh, yeah. ones.
Yeah, and my Big Buddy heater kept this warm, but it was cold enough where I don't know if it would have done it for the old style, like non-insulated shacks.
Yeah, you know, when we used them on our trip up at Leech, I was really, really impressed with how those quilted insulated shacks keep it toasty on an incredibly cold day with just a heater on low. So very impressive. and yeah, really gives you an opportunity, if the weather's somewhat mild, to really downsize your gear and go just a little bit lighter if you want to.
Yeah, it's to the point where I think now for ice shacks, if I'm going to buy one, it's got to be thermal. It's just got to be. It's just you're just a little more comfortable. So
awesome. Cool. So let's see, what else? You crib for ice castle fishing with kids? What's that?
So I saw this thing and I thought it was really cool. Somebody was selling it. So they had built a crib for one of their bunks in their ice castle. So they went, when they went fishing and they brought their kids, they could like close it and the kids would stay in the bunk area and then they could fish and they wouldn't get out. It was, so, it was so like,
could the kids fish from their cage or not?
Their cage. I don't know if they could fish from their cage or not, but I mean, it was basically a crib for your kid. So you could stick them in this area of your ice castle and they could play around and then you could go fish.
I mean, that's a great idea. Why not? They're right there with you. They're hanging out. Keeps them out of the treble hooks.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of cool. I don't know. I mean, I don't have the need for one at this point in my life, but it looked kind of cool.
You could use it for a dog too, though.
Yeah, it'd be a work for a dog. You know. It was all built out of wood, so it looked exactly like it belonged to one of these ice castles. It was all like knotty pine or whatever, and it was looked like it was built for an ice castle.
That's really cool. I'm going to digress just for a brief moment, because you know how I like to do that. So when I mentioned the dog comment, that caused me to think about something else. You know, the fishing with hot dogs has really taken off this year. And I did also see a couple people talking about that if you're doing that, be very, very careful that there's no dogs around when you're doing that. Because somebody, you know, was doing the tip up, right? Well, dogs eat the crap out of hot dogs and they don't usually chew much, you know? So the thing was sitting next to him and the dog was hanging out and like there went the hot dog down the dog, you know, and the dog. Yeah, then you have a vet bill from hell. So, so just be cognizant of that particular issue. If there's pets around when you're fishing for pike northerns with hot dogs, to not have a really terrible accident with a hot dog.
Oh, that is terrible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Whew. That'd be a... So, just to sidestep, just something to think about. Got to keep your wits about you. So, Jeff, let's move on, shall we? We ready?
I think we're ready. Ready.
What has been your favorite topic this year?
So my favorite thing we did was when we had Mark Baumhoff on and talked about his ice shack. I thought that thing was so cool.
I would agree with you. I think that was really cool. And I think to go along with that was just the realization of like, that we were international, that we actually had service folks over in Korea listening to the show. I just think that was so cool for me.
I'm hoping, you know, next year it'll be at least as good, if not better. We're starting out with a base and move on from there. So, I mean, I'm really excited. It was awesome. And I'm hoping to build from that. So,
yeah, absolutely.
So, other thoughts. I bought some stuff at the ice show. If you go listen to episode one, I talk about it. I think it was episode one, wasn't it? I don't know. One of the earlier episodes.
It was episode two, actually, I believe.
Episode two.
Oli will let us know.
Oh, I'm sure Dave will tell me too. He was not happy that I didn't get this podcast out before he went on his next trip so he could listen to it in his car.
Yeah, we have some loyal listeners. Oh, and I want to give a shout out. Can I give a shout out to my niece? My niece Brenna listens to the show. So I want to say hi to Brenna if you're listening. When you listen to the show, hey, how you doing? So, and I'm not going to eat those stinking jelly beans you left at my house.
That's awesome. Yeah, so
they left me these jelly, I'm digressing again, but these jelly beans, have you ever played? It's like a game where you have to spin this thing and you eat these jelly beans and some taste really good and some taste really bad.
Oh.
Yeah. I'll send your kid's going to get it for Christmas. So you'll find out. Yeah.
Seems like more of an Easter item, maybe. But
maybe I'll get it for Easter. I'm going to get on Amazon as soon as we're done.
So I just thought I bought this tip up thing that I thought was so cool at the ice fishing show. Yeah, I never put line on it. What that cooker thing didn't turn out real good, but I needed to try it again. But I just think it's interesting. Some of the things I'm excited at the beginning of the season that I just never used. So anyways.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've got all sorts of stuff that I buy over the years and, you know, it looks like a good idea and just never end up using it. Like one thing I bought years ago, I bought one of those automatic jigging things, you know, for like in an ice shack.
Yep.
And just never really, I think, used it once and never used it again. So stuff like that happens.
So, Jay, do you have any other favorite moments from the year?
I think just doing the show, Jeff, has been a gift that has given me more than I've given. And it's been a hoot. And so I really appreciate you doing all the work on the show. And it's sure been a good time.
No, I agree. And I think it goes well with two people. So I appreciate you having, you know, letting me bug you. Go, are we podcasting tonight? How about tomorrow night? I don't care that you have five sports. We need to podcast. We need to get this episode out. So yeah. Yeah. It definitely, it's been more work than I thought it would be, but it's been fun. So I've had a good time doing it too.
Well, I don't want to get misty-eyed here, so we should move into the legend.
Yeah, this is about having fun. We don't want to be, you know.
Too sentimental.
And plus, I mean, we're just going to do this again in a few months, right? I mean, we'll be starting this up.
We should have a target month-ish about when we're going to start this up again.
Well, I figure a really good fishing year means I am fishing the week before Thanksgiving. Like, good ice year, week before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Which means we're talking about early November to mid-November. You can start talking about gear and start talking about prep and tactics. Yep,
that sounds good. So mid-November-ish.
Yep.
All right. That sounds awesome. So that's when we'll look to rejoin everybody and talk about everything we've thought about over the summer. And don't forget to put your stuff away and clean it out when you're done with it, because you don't want to find them wax worms come November. And those minnows that you thought you forgot about. Ooh. Or a fish that someone stuffed in your stuff and never told you about. So you want to go through your gear and summarize it and get it ready to roll for next year.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I think we have one thing left, Jason. We got to talk about our legend. The legend.
The legend. So why don't you start off with this one?
Sure. So this legend is almost non-specific. This has been done so many times, I can't even remember when the first time it was done. But typically it starts out with, you know, when you're fishing and you get like an eel pout or a northern and you're in a permanent shack and you're all close proximity and that fish tangles up your lines, right? Right?
Yep.
So you reel it up and you realize that you have the guys next to you fishing line hook.
And if you're lucky, he doesn't know that.
And usually he doesn't, because maybe he went to get another beverage or he went outside to, you know, check the weather or whatever he's doing. He's not in the presence at the moment. So what you do at this very moment is you take... Well,
first you go, I have an opportunity.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, it's like, because these don't happen all the time. You have to wait for these moments.
They do. Yeah, you do.
Yeah. So you realize you have this moment. And you need to take advantage of it. It's required. And so what you do is you find an empty beer can, typically empty, and you tie it onto his line, and you fill it with water, and you send it on its way. And then when your buddy next to you, we'll say it's Ole, because I'm pretty sure this is the first time it happened, he comes back and realizes that there is something on the end of his line Or maybe you have to prompt it a little bit, or you kind of sit around and grin and are waiting for him to realize that there is something special going on with his line. And then the fun begins. Because, I mean, a beer can or a pop can, it feels pretty lively, pretty heavy when you reel it in. And usually there's some grinning. You start with grinning, right? Because you're trying to hold in your
which funny. And then the giggles start escaping.
And then they kind of turn into the giggles. And then you're like dying laughing. And they're looking at you like, why is this guy laugh? Why is everybody laughing? I'm catching a fish, and it's a big fish. And soon enough, that can comes out of the lake, and it's just too much fun.
And I like where you, and I think I did this to you this year.
So you have the variant, right? This is the variant.
This is even more fun. You get the line, and then. And so then you're just sitting there in the shack with your back to him, and you got the line. So you get a little twig, you get a little jerk to it, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, I got one. And they're trying to pull up, and you're fighting back and give them a little more line. You fight back a little bit, and they think they got a live one, and they don't. Oh, nope. And they're so disappointed.
Oh,
so disappointed.
But tears. With that disappointment, that goes fun too. And then you realize that you caught yourself a 220-pound Iowan.
I appreciate the 220 pounds. Usually you overjudge the weight, not under, so thank you. All right. Well, it sure has been a great season. I really appreciate all you listeners, and I hope you learned something. And if you didn't, well, Google it.
All right. I agree. Cheers.
Have a good night. Bye.